Today on Real Life Radio.
Oh, all my joy is gone. Let's just pause and realize you and I have not yet been beaten. We have not yet been stoned. We have not yet been rejected. We have not yet been sentenced. Paul had all those things and he had abounding joy. We're going to find his secret.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Thank You, God, Part 1 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 1 with verses 1 through 7. The Apostle Paul wrote his epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. He went to Philippi on his second missionary journey, and incidentally, it was the first European city where the gospel was preached. Out of the circumstances of his arrest and the sufferings of a life in chains, we learn some of Paul's greatest lessons. It is indeed a reality book on how to live the Christian life designed by God in any situation. His letter is also full of joy and encouragement. He thanks God for the church's prayer and partnership in sharing the gospel. Today, Pastor Jack tells us to use our freedom in the glory of God and in the spreading of the gospel. Paul's prayer for the church is that love will grow more and more, and we are to be confident in this truth, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
God wants to use people who don't rival him when he does something. You should never see a Christian minister with his nose stuck up. If you're truly being used by God, Christian, you should be humbled like Paul. Listen, I think if we were more humble, God would use us more powerfully. And his name was changed by Christ to Paul. Little one, humble one. And so listen, here's the deal. It's amazing. When they heard, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, that they had illegally condemned Roman citizens to be beaten, they called Paul and said, listen, we're really sorry. Can you guys just go out the back door and not tell anybody about this? Do you know what Paul did? Paul said, and I love this. Oh, I love this. Are you listening, Christian? Paul said, I'm not budging. Now, I have two thoughts about this. Number one, this guy's an animal. I mean that in a good way. Number one, he knew his rights as a Roman citizen, and they're beating him. And he never said, excuse me, that hurt. You should probably know I'm a Roman. They would have had to have stopped. You can't do that to a Roman. You have to have a trial first. He didn't do that. What would happen if you were grabbed and thrown down and they start beating you and laying your back open with leather straps and glass and the whips? And they're flogging you, and you know you have the right to stand up and say, you just broke the law, I'll see you in court. He never says a word. Think of that for a moment. So now they want to get rid of him, and he says, not so fast. You've beaten me, I'm a Roman citizen. He uses his freedoms. Christians, I beg of you, use your freedoms to the glory of God. Know your freedoms. Find out what they are and use them to the glory of God. You're living in a nation that still is the freest place on the planet. We're losing our freedoms rapidly, but we're still in the freest country in the world. But are we using our freedoms to the glory of God? Paul says, I'm a Roman. I have certain rights. And he used those rights to proclaim truth and light. And so a jailer was converted. God moved in his life. All that to tell you this, by way of introduction, the gospel goes to Rome in the heart of Paul the Apostle, and he writes a letter. He writes a letter back to a church that he had founded some time ago in Philippi, the first church in Europe. You say, well, who cares? You do. You care. Because from that first church in Europe, eventually the gospel went across Europe. Here's the amazing thing about what I'm saying. You may be from South America. You may have become a Christian in South America, or maybe in South Africa. A lot of Christians in South Africa. How did that ever happen? It happened first, watch. I should probably turn around. Over here. The gospel is in the heart of Paul the Apostle now. He's arrested for preaching the gospel in Jerusalem. He's sent down to Caesarea. How many of you have been with us to Caesarea? Remember the, right on the, bunch of you, on the Mediterranean? Do you remember we have that Bible study we do there in that theater? And all you see is that incredible blue waters of the Mediterranean behind me, and you're looking that way, right? And it was the last place that Paul the Apostle stood in Israel before he was put on a Roman ship and taken to Rome for imprisonment. Remember that? And you remember how we talked about that theater like a gigantic pump? From that place, you guys, you got to go to Israel. We stood in the spot where the gospel left Israel to the world. It is the exact spot. It's not maybe, it is it. It has been completely unearthed, and that theater just went like this. Just and spit Paul out on a ship. And from that location, his missionary journeys. In fact, you guys have the map, first missionary journey map. You guys have that? It might be. There you go. Okay, wow, that was fast. Those guys are good because they have no idea where I'm going today. Israel would be over here. Here's Turkey. You see that? And Bulgaria, Macedonia, Albania. This is the region. So Paul would have been here. Philippi is up over here. There's Thessalonica, one of the oldest cities in the world, right here. Next slide. Oh, that's Philippi. That's Philippi last year. Isn't that gorgeous? See, I'd like to preach the gospel there. You see this? That's from Paul's day. Paul the Apostle saw that. That's a Roman aqueduct. That carries water. Gorgeous, huh? Next slide. This is Paul's first missionary journey. He leaves from this region of Syria, and he launches out. And he, look, ladies and gentlemen, that is a big trip. It doesn't look big on the screen. It's a big trip. It's amazing. I mean, that's a big trip if you're just even on a big cruise ship. And so he plants churches. He's ministering, preaching the gospel. Book of Acts records this. Next slide. This is his second missionary journey. Look at this. Up through land. Look at that. Up in, there's, look at this, Black Sea, southern Russia. All the way into Greece and back home. Remarkable. Planting churches all along the way. One of them is Philippi. Next slide. This is his last journey. Paul said, I want to see Rome. He was always saying, I want to see Rome. And by the way, Paul knew wherever he went, he would always go. I hope this doesn't hurt anybody's feelings, but he would have completely bypassed Chino Hills. He wouldn't have come here. He never thought like that. Of course, God is using this man. You know where he goes? Oh, man. He would go, he would have gone downtown San Diego. Not because I was born there, not because it's best city, never, anyway. Downtown San Diego, then he would have gone like maybe Santa Ana. And then from Santa Ana, he would have went straight downtown Los Angeles. Did you know that? And then from there, he would have gone straight to what's next as you head north. He went to all of the metropolitan areas first. Now, he shared the gospel along the route that led you to that city, but he was bent on, focused on getting to the next metropolis. Why? Listen, isn't it sad that as Christians, we often abandon the metropolis for the suburbs? Why? Because that's what we want. Do you know what we should be doing? We should be doing what the cults do. The cults are doing what the first church did. The cults read the Bible and say, oh, so that's how they did it. We'll do it like that. They went to the inner city. Why? Who's in the inner city? People in need? People disillusioned? Listen, people coming and going, are they not? If you preach the gospel on the streets of Los Angeles, you are speaking to people coming. Listen, they're walking through the city en route to Hong Kong. They're en route to Vancouver. They're going back to Sao Paulo. right? Paul took advantage of that. Isn't it awesome? He did that in every stop along the way. As he did this, he knew that if he could get to Rome, it would be, that's it, the center of the world. If I could get to Rome and preach the gospel, I'll be able to reach thousands, if not millions of people. Missionary-minded Paul, brilliant thinking. Well, he's going to see Rome, all right, at government expense. He's arrested for the gospel. He leaves that Caesarea, beautiful location in Israel, on a Roman freighter, on a grain ship, as a prisoner, and he winds up getting an all-expense-paid trip to Rome, where he appeals before Caesar. Twice Paul appeals as a Roman citizen for the defense of the gospel. He addresses the emperor of the world. Do you remember Acts chapter 9 when Paul got saved, when Saul became Paul? Jesus had made the announcement, this is Paul, and I will use this one to preach my name among kings and rulers of the world. And decades later, it happens right here in Rome. This is where he loses his head. If you've been with us to Rome on our tours, the Mamertine prison there in Rome, it's still there. It's kept because of Paul. It's there. You can see it. It's where that man, Paul, was taken out of that cell. That rot. Actually, you know what it is? It's a sewer hole. And that's how they dealt with their prisoners. They would open up the sewer door and flood the prison cell. You would hang on, you would swim up, you would go up to the grate and eventually drowned in the sewage of Rome. Paul did not die that way. They took him out and they cut his head off for the gospel. By the way, here's a little test for you for homework later. Find out why Paul was condemned and what crime did he commit to get himself killed. That'd be a fun study. All of this, he says, he has joy. When I begin to focus on this man's life, I begin to wonder, do I even know the same God that this man knew? I can't believe it. I got a flat tire. Oh, what's the world coming to? My computer seized up. All this to tell you this. Look at verse 1 where it says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Paul, a Jew, converted to Jesus. Timothy, a half-breed, a father who's a Greek, mother who's a Jew, came to faith in Jesus. Lydia, who's from Asia, comes to faith in Jesus. A demon-possessed girl, a slave, comes to faith in Jesus. A Roman prison guard comes to faith in Jesus. You know what we're talking about? Look at the people that are around you right now. I know you won't do that. I already know this. I saw this at first service. Nobody looks. We don't like that because our space is invaded. We don't even like to acknowledge that there's somebody actually sitting next to us. It's too late for that. So pretend you're looking at one another near you. Some people you may know, you might have driven in with the same person there that you know there. Maybe you don't know the person. You know why we're here right now? At least why we should be here right now? One name. Oh, that's beautiful. Wow. One name. One name. Paul never would have met Timothy. Lydia never would have met Paul. The demon-possessed girl, Susie, never would have met Billy, the prison guard dude. You never would have known this person or sat next to this person if it wasn't for one name, Jesus. You're in here right now because of Jesus. Listen, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be looking at each other because of Jesus. Listen, we're going to make it through life right now, fellowshipping together because of Jesus. When you and I pray, it's Jesus. When we say amen, it's Jesus. Listen, on our dying bed, the last words out of our mouth is going to be Jesus. Think of it. You're here right now because of Jesus. Now, listen, our lives are different. There's no way. There may be people here rich, people poor, people black, people white, people tall, people short. Listen, it's Jesus. There's golfers here. I saw some golfers. They were here. I don't get it, but there are some golfers here. And then, you know what? There's non-golfers. Right? My point is, it's through Jesus Christ that we come into this amazing family. I remember so many years ago, thank God now it's been so many years, I never thought it would end, when I would share the gospel with my family and they would just pat me on the head. Oh, Jack, we're so glad that works for you. No, I'm serious. Do you ever hear that? I'm so glad that works for you, but you know, can you just tone it down a little bit? Everything's got to be about God. Hey, let's have this event. Let's invite people. But Jack, should we invite him? All my friends, I had great friends. At least I thought they were great friends. I mean, we grew up, went through school together. I accepted Jesus Christ. The next day, I tell them, hey, I became a Christian last night. You what? I went to church. It's somewhere in Costa Mesa. It was crazy. There's people running around. It was amazing. They're all my age. They're singing songs. And the guy came out and like fried my face off. He talked about hell and how to get there. And I was like, totally, that was me. And I just accepted Christ. He died on the cross, rose again from the dead. And that's the deal. And my friend said, oh, that's amazing. That's fantastic. That's super. And they never called me again. And my family would say, well, that's nice for you. And you begin to wonder, you know, what is this? What's happening? And God begins to work in your life. And I was so bummed back then. I remember Lisa, she can, this, if I tell you this, you won't believe it, but you'll have to ask my wife. I was so burdened for my family's soul, my mom, my dad. I'd cry for them. I'd just pray because they're lost. They were very good people, very moral. Those are the hardest ones to win to Christ, you know, because they don't see their need. They're so good. Well, we're better than our neighbors. Like God grades like that. I know my son died on the cross, but we'll grade on a curve and see. The Bible says all have sinned, but not my parents. And you get discouraged. And I remember for years, I'd get up very early in the morning. I would get in our bathtub in our apartment because it's freezing cold, you know, the bathtub. And that's the only way I could keep my body from falling asleep is if I would just be on my hands and knees praying for my family because they're lost. They're going to hell. And I remember I would just not let my body win. And I would just pray in there in the morning hours forever for their soul. And you just think, you know, are they ever going to get saved? What's the deal? And I remember arguing with God, God, what's the deal? I just care for them so much. And the Lord spoke to my heart several things. Number one, Jack, keep praying because I wouldn't burden you with their soul if I didn't have a plan. So you keep praying for them. If they're never coming up in your mind, then I don't care about them. But they're always in your mind, so you keep praying. So if that's for you, listen, are you praying for a husband, a wife, a child, a son, mother, daughter, whatever? Listen, here's the thing. If they're heavy on your heart, keep praying for them. Don't stop praying for them. God wants to do a work. Hang in there. It's terrifying to think that you know people that they never once cross your mind in prayer. That's a terrible, horrible thought. And then the other thing is this, Jack, cheer up. You're in a new family now. They've been born. You've been born again. Listen, he showed me this. This is true for me. I mean, he just spoke this years ago. Jack, if blood is thicker than water, you know, family? Having been born again, Jack, you're in a new family. Spirit is thicker than blood. And you're here today because spirit is thicker than blood. And I want you to remember that. So from this, the apostle will go out and teach us about joy. Joy in the most horrific situations. Because we're in a family. We're in a brand new family. The Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible tells us that we are to have abounding joy. And I don't know about you, but I could sure use more joy. If you're being pressured, as we all are, as I am, in this world at this time, to think it's so dark and so terrible, and it's, oh, all my joy is gone. Let's just pause and realize, you and I have not yet been beaten. We have not yet been stoned. We have not yet been rejected. We have not yet been sentenced. Paul had all those things, and he had abounding joy. We're going to find his secret, because it's available to all of us right now, because God has it for us in his word. It is going to be good for us. We need it more than ever, right? Amen. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. And Lord, just like Paul, just like Timothy, we'll find out next week and revel in the fact that we are bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy awaits us, that you will complete that work that you've begun in us. You will not leave us alone. You will never abandon us. We will never somehow cause you to walk away and you just give up on this project of us. And I pray, Father, that for those that are here today, that they would be encouraged by that truth. That he who has begun a good work in your life, he's going to complete it. It's time for many of you, perhaps, to get back on target with God, to get back on target with Jesus, and find out what dynamic, exciting, can I say, radical thing he's got for you. You don't need a reality show. God wants to do reality in and through you. You don't need the excitement of others. Live a Christian life and get really excited. Follow him and watch him do great things for the kingdom of God through you. And Lord, I pray this prayer too, that as we go through this book, I pray that as people come, maybe some of them not knowing you personally, maybe some of them not born again, that they'd get so jealous, really provoked to have what we have, that they would see the joy of the Lord in us and they would say, that's it. I want your Jesus. So Father, we thank you. Now, we pray that you would deploy us now to our Philippi, to the world that is outside the doors of this church, as we live for you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Thank You, God. And thank you for listening. Our hope is that the joy of the Lord will be your strength in every situation you face in life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Quick question for you. Have you ever been passionate about pursuing a dream? And what if you were surrounded by people who feel equally as passionate about that same dream as you do? How far would you go with it, and to what end? Our founding fathers had a vision to make America a city on a hill, a beacon of faith shining for all the world to see. And their mission? To exalt the gospel of Jesus Christ and the God who gave it. July's book of the month is called Forged in Faith by Rod Gregg, a fascinating history of the New World taking you from 1607 to 1776 and the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Forged in Faith, it's a dramatic, action-driven narrative that's not just about a story from long ago, it's our story. Pastor Jack is sure you'll be blessed when you order your own copy of Forged in Faith by Rod Gregg. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.